Okay, well, say good evening to you, Ed, and thank you, Ed and Daryl, for picking up the net tonight. And as I had feared when we presented last month, I had a feeling we might be talking winter storms again for our next training topic and presentation. For those that are looking for the URL for the presentation, you can go to voipwx.net. It's the first story right on the main page, and if you look in the story, there's a link. You can click it. It is a PowerPoint presentation in a PDF format. And we'll talk today about the winter storms of February 2014, a repeat of January 2014. I want to acknowledge a couple of folks who helped with input into the presentation. One is November Charlie 4, Victor Alpha, Virginia. She's the Central North Carolina Skywarn Coordinator. She gave some nice input into the presentation. And also to K5MLK, Matt, who gave us a couple pictures from that area that I used in the presentation. And I'll mention them again as we go through the presentation. So we'll move on to slide number 2 of the presentation, and we'll begin with the content. Break for more. So on slide number 2, we'll talk a little bit about the topics. We're going to talk about a winter storm that affected our area up here in the northeast and mid-Atlantic states on Wednesday, February 5th. That was a formidable storm. We then have the winter storm of the Tuesday through Thursday, February 11th through 13th time frame, which affected much of the eastern U.S. We'll then discuss the Saturday, February 15th, major winter storm and near blizzard that affected southeastern New England. We'll remind folks about winter weather safety tips and how to measure snow and ice. Remind folks again about situational awareness and disaster intelligence. And the last topic I'll just cover right here, next month's net, we will have another presentation. It will be on the 2014 National Hurricane Conference and amateur radio participation in that conference. That'll be our topic for next month's training net. And I figured we'd knock that one out right here in slide number 2. Break for more. Slide number 3, this is on the Wednesday, February 5th, 2014, significant winter storm that affected much of the northeast and mid-Atlantic states. This significant snowstorm was very interesting in that I recall traveling to the National Weather Service in Taunton, Mass. At getting there at 5 a.m. just as the first few flakes of snow fell. And by 7 a.m. we had a morning commute that was a complete mess. We had snowfall rates 2 to 4 inches an hour, and things went downhill very rapidly. Basically a wall of snow and basically moved into the area. This storm produced widespread 6 to 12 inches of snow, especially along and north of I-95. Interstate 95 basically traverses Boston, Mass. Through Providence, Rhode Island, and down into southern Connecticut. South of that corridor, there was a good 2 to 6 inches of snow before a change over to rain, less on Nantucket Island. Again, I mentioned the severe impact to the morning commute. A more modest impact to the evening commute with some light snow and light freezing rain in some areas. More rain south of the I-95 corridor. These heavy snowfall rates with similar amounts of snow were reported across New York City into the mid-Atlantic states. And we've been on a trend lately of just midweek storms for southern New England. And you'll see that theme as we go to the next storm and a couple storms after that as well. Just the way things are timed this year. Break for more. And as we go to slide number 4, I mentioned the midweek piece because, you know, these storms that affect us during the middle of the week like that or during weekdays always are going to have greater impact than storms that hit on the weekends and such. And that's why I point that out. You look at this storm, this February 11th through February 14th major winter storm. This storm affected much of the eastern United States. You look at starting in the southeast United States, this was a significant ice storm for portions of Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, causing damage to trees and power lines and power outages, the heaviest of which were in portions of Georgia and South Carolina, but did extend up into North Carolina as well. Several hundred thousand people were without power, with widespread school and business closings. This was a significant snowstorm for inland areas of North Carolina through Virginia, Washington, D.C., Delmarva, eastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey through New York City, with many closings and power outages in the southern areas from the weight of heavy, wet snow. This storm had very low barometric pressures, as low as some Category 1 hurricanes. This was a very large system. Break for more. Continuing on slide number 4, and again, I'd like to acknowledge Virginia NC4VA from the Central Carolina Skywarn Coordinator, who provided some input into some of the specific aspects in her area and what another Skywarn program did during this storm. So they were active for 26 and a half hours over 2 days and took over 250 reports. They had cars abandoned in North Carolina due to the heavy snowfall, the inability to plow roads and keep up with the snow, and the inability to really treat the roads. As we talked about, these storms have greater impact in the south because they're not able to handle it as well as northern areas. Widespread snowfall of greater than 3 to 4 inches in many areas, with additional sleet and freezing rain accumulation. Some amateur radio repeaters suffered damage from the snow and ice and went off the air, with numerous road closures and power outages. So this gives you just one area of the country, an example of what their Skywarn program did. I know you hear a lot of references to New England because we're here. It's good to bring perspective from one of the fine programs down in the southeast United States. Break for more. On slide number 5, we'll talk about impacts up here in New England. And interestingly, you had the icing all the way down to Georgia, yet in parts of southern New England, along the immediate south coast of Massachusetts, Cape Cod and the islands, we got mostly rain and very little snow out of the storm. And it has to do with how the storm tracked kind of right over our area. It brought just enough warm air off the ocean to get us above freezing, so that we got just a fairly significant rainstorm out of this. Now, the rain-snow line would make it as far inland as that I-95 corridor from Boston to Providence to southern Connecticut, and allowed for about 3 to 6 inches of snow accumulation in interior southeast Mass and south-central Rhode Island. The widespread 6-inch or more snowfall was across interior southern New England. The amounts as high as 10 to 14 inches as the storm kind of dragged on in the Friday morning, allowing some additional accumulation before ending Friday morning. The snow in some areas was heavy and wet. We had isolated power outages here due to the strong winds and heavy, wet snow clinging to the trees and power lines. Most wind gusts were between 40 and 55 miles per hour. However, in Rockport, Massachusetts, we had 3 different weather stations all report a wind gust briefly in a confined area between 66 and 72 miles per hour as the storm departed the region. This was right along the coast. It may have been the nose of higher winds that actually went up through Isles of Shoals and up into Maine. Skywarn in southern New England was active much of the day Thursday, a good 16 hours through midnight Thursday and early Friday morning. And then on Friday morning, we remote activated to gather some final snowfall totals. So this storm had impacts all the way up from Georgia and Mississippi, Alabama, all the way up in through southern New England and up across northern New England as well with the heavy snowfall. Break for more. This is slide number 6, and you'll remember some of these slides from the January storm that affected much of southeast U.S. areas. This slide here is from the Weather Service in Jackson, Mississippi. And you can see some of the snow and sleet accumulations and ice accumulations across these areas. And as you can see, the ice accumulations were most significant from this storm in parts of Mississippi in that area. And looking at slide number 7, this is from the National Weather Service Birmingham, Alabama office. And as you can see here, this is snowfall. And you can see some snowfall totals ranging as high as 8 inches in areas that don't normally get this type of snow, but can get some significant storms like this at times. The Birmingham, Alabama office, and there's a link into this presentation, and a very interesting view on kind of the, how historic was this winter in the South. What we found is it was unusual, but not unprecedented, and they kind of get into the logic of why that is, and again, that link is in the presentation, and you can refer to that for those interested. Break for more. On slide number 8, this was the forecasted and observed freezing rain accumulations and accretion totals from the National Weather Service in Peachtree City, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. And these are very heavy ice totals in parts of central and east central Georgia. You know, over an inch of freezing rain or an inch of ice accretion, that's very damaging to trees and power lines. I mentioned, I think, in last month's presentation that we had an ice storm in parts of northern Massachusetts, and that's the kind of icing that will cause trees and power lines to go down and extensive power outages, and that's exactly what you had in parts of Georgia. And moving on to slide number nine, these are the snowfall totals. And you can see the snow totals. There was some snow in the areas that received freezing rain, but the heaviest totals were up into northern Georgia. The placement of the heavy snow that was observed was a little bit more into northwest Georgia versus northeast Georgia, but you get the general idea of some of the snow accumulations in these areas. And some of these case areas, the snow is sleet. The snow is heavy and wet with the sleet, and that helped to aggravate power issues in the northern part of Georgia, though not as bad as the freezing rain. Break for more. Slide number 10 are some pictures out of portions of Georgia as provided on the National Weather Service Peachtree City, Georgia website. You can see some of the icing damage in Sandersville, Georgia, the snowfall in Douglasville, Georgia, and right at Peachtree City, Georgia, you can see a line of traffic lights and a street sign taken down by the icing. And the Peachtree City, Georgia office, they have a whole link with all the meteorological terms, other pictures and such from this storm, and a link to that presentation. A link to that information is in this presentation as well. Break for more. And this is KD1CY for the VOIP Hurricane PrepNet. We are going through a presentation on winter storms from February 2014, a repeat of what occurred during January 2014. Next slide is from National Weather Service Charleston, South Carolina. This was off their Facebook page. You can see some of the damage from icing in their area and some of the tree damage there. Some of the icing totals were around tenths to an inch or so in the Charleston area. As you got further away from the coast, you can see some of the icing totals as high as 3/4 of an inch to 1 inch of radial ice. And again, these are the kind of icing events that are going to cause damage. Some people know Jim Cantore was in Charleston and had a close encounter with a college student. And those can check out YouTube for that video. But at any rate, this was an area hard hit with the icing from this major winter storm affecting the southeast U.S. Break for more. Slide number 12, this was a picture that was also on the National Weather Service Raleigh Facebook page. Also, Virginia NC4VA sent an attachment with this as well, and I thank her for that also in case I did not catch it. And as you can see, the first top map here is snowfall. And look at some of these snowfall totals in parts of west-central North Carolina, a swath of snowfall of 14 to as much as 20 inches of snow. And that is a lot of snow for this part of North Carolina, with a more widespread 6 to 12 inches. And as you got into the Raleigh area and points east, 3 to 6 inches, you can see as you got closer to the coast, you saw lesser amounts with just mostly rain along extreme eastern North Carolina. And that's a little bit different from the storm in January, where the heavier access of snow was a bit further east, and that was a storm that actually grazed us up here in southern New England as well, with snow in the southeast part of New England and not much in the northwest part of New England. So the storm track here was a bit closer to the coast, and that made for some differences in where the heaviest snow fell, where the icing fell, and so forth. You can also see in the bottom graphic the icing totals up to about 1/4 inch of ice, and that 1/4 inch of ice with the snow that fell, especially if it was heavy and wet, it's definitely going to cause problems with trees and power lines and power outages. Break for more. Slide number 13, this is from photos, as I mentioned, from K5MLK, Matt Cool. He works at Orange County, North Carolina EMS. That's actually a picture of him in the the ambulance that he was driving during the storm. And then as he was trying to get home, you can see all the cars stuck in traffic, some pulled off to the side of the road. This was a common occurrence across portions of the southeast U.S. as this storm went through the area. And again, this is complicated by the lack of road treatments and such, and can be further complicated by the timing with the various commutes. Break for more. Slide number 14, this is out of the Wakefield, Virginia Weather Office. I want to comment, I think we had a few folks join from the Sterling, Virginia area and such. I did look for some of these graphics. They may have been available. I couldn't find them, so I found what I could for this presentation. Our own weather office doesn't have some of these maps either. I want to make that comment, but here in the Wakefield, Virginia office, you see the snow totals closer to the coast. We're just around dusting to 2 inches or so, but as you got to the northwest parts of the area, look at some of these totals ranging from 6 to 12 and even greater than 12 and greater than 14 inches of snow across the northwest parts of this area, and that kind of would extend right along the more western areas of the mid-Atlantic as well, based on the storm track. Break for more. So that kind of gives you an idea of what that storm was able to do over a very large portion of the country, and hopefully we don't have to deal with another one of those storms in March. Unfortunately, we are starting off colder than normal in a lot of the country, especially the northern half of the country, so we'll have to see how that plays out here as we go through the month of March. Well, what was very interesting as we get to slide number 15 is after that type of significant storm, you would think we'd have a few days off, but that was not the case. Models, as I was getting ready to leave the Weather Service in Taunton on the Thursday evening, the 13th, were hinting at another significant snowstorm, this time affecting the areas that were not hit by the prior storm. And that's one of the other themes we saw this winter up here in New England. The storms that affected the northern and central areas of New England brought mostly rain. The southeast part of New England, we'd have those storms, and then we'd flip-flop and get storms that would pound the southeast region, and the northwest areas would be on the northern fringe of the storms and not get as much snow. This storm here was one that the models locked into after the other storm started to pass the area. Blizzard watches and warnings were issued for parts of our coastline where we had two other cases of blizzard watches and warnings in January. And this storm had a heavier, wetter snow along with strong winds. So we were pretty concerned. One of the models in particular had about 1 to 2 inches of, 2 to 3 inches of water equivalent, whereas the other models had about 1 to 2 inches over the Cape Cod and South Coastal areas. If the 2 to 3 inches of water had verified, I think we would have had a lot more issues with trees and power lines down, as well as higher snowfall totals across our area. The other thing this model had was a sharp northwest cutoff of the snow just south of the Boston area and just barely covering Providence and Point South. That part of the model verified, but the heavier amounts in Cape Cod did not. So it was kind of a best-case scenario for the storm, even though we had significant impacts, which we'll get into after we break for more. So continuing on this major winter storm and near blizzard for southeast New England, we had a widespread 6 to 12 inches of snow with isolated amounts of up to 15.5 inches in Sandwich, Massachusetts. I want to recognize the Sandwich, Massachusetts Emergency Management and EOC folks. They treat our amateur operators very well. They embed them into their operation, and we got a lot of reports from them, including through much of the overnight. The snowfall rates were 2 to 4 inches per hour at the height of the storm, and we had many storms that did that. There was another storm after this one that did the same thing in northern parts of New England. As I mentioned, we had heavy, wet snow clinging to trees and power lines, coupled with the strong to damaging winds. We did have scattered power outages and pockets of trees and wires down. Some outages lasting upwards of 12 to 18 hours, but most were under 6 hours. We did luck out in that regard because, as I said, if other things had lined up, this could have been much worse from that aspect. Another interesting thing is that with the heavy, wet snow and the strong winds, we actually had a plastering onto the wind cups of a lot of amateur radio operator and Skywarn spotter wind instruments that do not have the any type of heater mechanism to keep them from freezing up. So many of the wind measurements from Cape Cod, the accurate ones, are very limited for this event. We did have WQ10 Frank set up, which had some wind gusts over 50 miles per hour. But if you looked at a bunch of weather stations on APRS and our and talking with our hands that had weather stations, they were completely frozen, sustained wind zero, gust zero. Meantime, you could hear the winds howling outside. Nantucket Island did luck out with mostly rain. They did have a changeover to heavy, wet snow before the storm ended in this area. Break for more. And this is KD1CY for the VOIP Hurricane Prep Net. We are doing a presentation on February winter storms, which is a kind of a repeat of what occurred across much of the eastern half of the country in January 2014. Looking at this slide here, this is from the Weather Service in Taunton. They did produce this graphic for this winter storm, and you can see some of the snowfall amounts, the heaviest amounts, across Cape Cod and south coastal Massachusetts, between 8 and 15 inches. If you got into northeast Connecticut and even Rhode Island, you see the totals more around 4 to 8 inches. And if you go all the way up into New Hampshire, just under 3 inches of snow. And that's kind of a trend that we saw with this storm. You know, we had storms that hit the southern half of the area, the other storms that would affect more the northern parts. If you look at slide number 17, on the left-hand corner, you see a picture of the Acushnet, Massachusetts Emergency Operations Center, WA1EMA, with Ed taking that picture. That's the station that he's operating from tonight. And he was there during the blizzard, helping out with reports from the South Coast and relays into Cape Cod as required. Harwich, Mass, W1NP, there's an example of the top half of a tree that was taken down from the snow and wet snow and high winds. And West Yarmouth, Mass, KB1CYO, Phil McLaughlin, who was with me at the National Weather Service in Taunton WX1BOX station, relayed a picture from his brother of a large tree down on their house, their mother's house in West Yarmouth. His brother was there to make sure things were okay during the storm and keep an eye on their mother. And you can see they had an issue with that large tree falling on the garage side of that home. Break for more. On slide number 18, this is, again, a repeat. This slide here is a repeat from last month, just to remind folks on measuring snow and or sleet and ice accretion. Again, finding that flat surface, if you're measuring snow and sleet, that is not subject to blowing and drifting where possible. Again, some of our blizzards, that's very difficult. Try to avoid the drifts and bare spots. You know, in the blizzard or near blizzard conditions, I try to find the undrifted areas, and then I will measure the drift. And if we have, you know, an area that's zero, and try to just kind of average, take a much larger average, you know, take up to 10 measurements, average that value, and round to the nearest 10. For ice accretion, you measure ice radially off a tree branch or other surface where you can actually measure the ice in a radius. The other thing that you can do is, you can look at the icing on both sides of a tree branch and such, but then divide it by two because you're kind of taking a diameter. If you don't divide by two, you divide by two, then you're getting the radial measurement. One other item that I did not mention last month that I thought was worthy of mention is if you have older snow on the ground, you want to kind of delineate the snow from the new storm, from the prior storm, sometimes a nice snowboard or just clearing off an area on a deck that's not subject to blowing and drifting, I can serve the same purpose. Complete snow measuring information, again, this is a link from last month. It kind of gives all of the different guidelines that are available as far as snow measuring and how to do that, and also how to actually melt down the snow into a water equivalent. Break for more. And I know that we mentioned this a lot in our presentations. This slide is the same slide as last month, but it's one that I keep wanting to drive home to folks, is that, you know, I really believe that as amateur radio operators, you know, I said at our regional Skywarn meeting for the Weather Service in Taunton this afternoon, one of the hams in our area, November 1, Gulf Kilo Echo, Merton, I saw an email from him on some other amateur radio technology, and he put down a nice quote that I think I'd like to help promote, and I'll ask Merton if I can borrow it. And I'm on the original form of social media, ham radio. And I think that's just another way of saying, you know, the work that we do to gather snow and ice reports, damage reports, and relaying that information is what Twitter and Facebook do today. And to be able to kind of look at that Twitter and Facebook information, manage that data, weed out the good information from the bad. I mean, I'd be honest, I think a lot of it is good, but there is some that is not good. And being able to weed through that information, compare it to what we're getting from our networks, provides a very good situational awareness, disaster intelligence picture. And if, again, we've said many times, FEMA's Craig Fugate mentioning how amateur radio operators are the inventors of social media. You know, so I believe that our future in emergency communications is doing this work along with being there when all else fails, because even though there are more layers of communication, cities, towns, governments have put a lot of money to kind of create those layers, and I think that's all goodness because it's good to have multiple layers. There will always be a time where you'll get down to the layer of using amateur radio for when all else fails. But having this mission on top of it allows us to remain integrated so that when you get to that last layer, the folks are in place to be able to do that work while continuing to gather this critical information. Break for more. Again, slide 20 is kind of a reiteration of winter weather safety tips. I know we're getting into March. We're all, in technically, from a meteorological perspective, it's meteorological spring. Well, we are still seeing some pretty cold weather, and we could still have some winter storms. So making sure your car remains ready for the winter. The winter storm survival kit should be still ready to go. Just in layers versus one large winter jacket. Again, know the difference between those winter storm watches, warnings, and advisories, and some of the useful winter weather resource links from the Weather Service that we had provided last month are listed here as well. Break for more. And again, we are at our last slide now, slide 21. This shows some of the links that I mentioned about winter storm information from various offices, including the research I mentioned from the Birmingham, Alabama office regarding the winter season there, and a couple of other links about the winter storm that occurred earlier in February. I think this information is gives kind of more background if you're interested in checking it out. I encourage amateur operators and Sky One weather spotters to look at their NWS Forecast Office Twitter feed and like their Facebook page. Many of the Weather Service office graphics were on there, and I was able to capture them and credit them accordingly. And they can have information that is not on the Weather Service office page themselves. They do create links on the Weather Service office websites to their Facebook pages and Twitter feeds. I mentioned again that other key website resources are listed throughout this presentation. And I encourage SkyOne groups, we have our WX1BOX Twitter feed and Facebook page that we have as well. And our Weather Service office, last couple storms, have said, hey, if you're tweeting a report to NWS Boston, you know, tweet it to WX1BOX as well. So we both see and corral that information so it works hand in hand. So I encourage SkyOne groups to look at that as well to help gather information in your area. Break for more. And this is KD1CY for the VOIP Hurricane PrepNet, and this concludes this month's presentation on the February 2014 storms and a repeat of what occurred in January across much of the eastern half of the country. I appreciate everyone's time and attentiveness, and we will have the recording uploaded to the VOIP WXNet website in the next day or so. So folks can listen to it again, or others that missed it are able to listen and follow along the PowerPoint presentation that we put in the PDF format. I'll open up the net here to any questions or comments. KD1CY.
Whiskey 1, Echo Alpha Victor, Mobile, W1EAV, Chris in Rochester, Mass. Rob, I'm just checking in and out. Say quick good evening. Thanks again for all what you do, W1EAV.
All right, Chris. Our primary and secondary net controls will log you in, Chris, W1EAV, and thanks for listening in the mobile. Appreciate it. And Chris is a local spotter who also plows in his local town, and we've had a few late nights together. We'll put it that way. So thanks, Chris, for checking in and your quick comments. Any other questions or comments from the net before we turn it back over to our net controls for any check-ins and to read off the text box check-ins? KD1CY.
Starting at IQ. So we're in for an event that may be every bit as interesting as some of the ones we've gone over. So if you got them in 259, what do you think you need to back to next?
Okay, that was Thomas, W3TDH. You had very low audio. I was able to pick up most of it here on Echolink. I'll reiterate, and that is correct. There is another storm system coming, and Tom is affiliated with Skywarn in the Washington, D.C. Area. They're expecting a storm with the potential of 10 to 12 inches of snow, and, you know, winter's not over yet, and that's why we reiterated that here in tonight's presentation. They will likely be active in their area. Up here in southern New England, we may actually dodge the bullet on this one. There was concerns that this storm would cause a heavy snowfall across much of southern New England. The trend remains to be suppressing this activity south of our area, though our south coast of Massachusetts and Rhode Island could get about 2 to 4 inches of snow, with some isolated higher amounts of greater than 4 inches out towards Nantucket, maybe Martha's Vineyard, maybe parts of Cape Cod. That heavy snow zone is not far off from our south coast, so that will have to be watched. But areas well to the north, Boston, Providence, Hartford, and points north, may just get a coating or an inch or two from the storm. So it looks like it will kind of stay to our south. But again, the south coast, I think we still got to watch it a little bit, though it doesn't look like a huge storm for our area. But we'll be keeping an eye on the model runs nonetheless. Further comments or questions for the net before we turn it back over to the net controls? KD1CY.
Comment N1SYC.
Good evening, Bob. Bob is affiliated with the Plymouth EOC, N1SYC. Go ahead, Bob.
I just wanted to echo the comments of the person before the last person about the job that you do for us here in southern New England. I, for one, and I'm sure I speak for the EOC and the Genesis Club, appreciate all that you do, and keep up the great work, Rob. N1SYC, back to net.
Well, thanks a lot, Bob, and we appreciate all your help. You've worked on a number of these storms and have checked in with us and given us some great reports out of the town of Plymouth, along with Bob, KA1NMA, Rick, KD4OFZ, and several others. So we're really thankful for your efforts as well, and thank you for the comments and compliments, and we appreciate that. One more round of any questions or comments for the net before we turn it back over to the net controls. KD1CY.
WA2AQQ.
Good evening, Bob. Go ahead.
Yeah, Rob, I just want to mention we're expecting snow tomorrow night into Monday. It's actually going to be worse down towards in central and southern Jersey than it will be on Long Island and New York City. And north of New York City, it looks like they'll practically have no snow at all. We've been hit pretty bad also, but like you up there, we're pretty well prepared. Back to you, Rob. KD1CY, WA2AQQ.
All right, Bob, and thanks for those comments on the upcoming storm for the New York City, Long Island area. About 8:54 now, so not quite 9 o'clock, so I'll just open it up one more time for any questions or comments on the presentation or on the upcoming storm for the net before we turn it back to the net controls. KD1CY.
WX1DER.
Go ahead, Daryl, and you might want to give the severe weather info. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Yeah, we're supposed to get both in Arkansas. Well, tonight may see some hailers, but then a risk of severe thunderstorms as well as winter weather tomorrow. So got it in both. Let me go ahead and I'll give that information from the Storm Prediction Center. Break. And from the Storm Prediction Center, strong thunderstorms are possible overnight across portions of Arizona, Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, and extreme southwest Illinois. The main threat will be nickel-sized hail and gusty winds in Arizona, especially around the Phoenix area into this evening, and nickel-sized hail for the other areas noted mainly after 12 midnight Central Time tonight. That threat will continue into Sunday, and speaking of which, on Sunday, there is a slight risk for severe thunderstorms with large hail, damaging winds, and tornadoes across central to east Texas, all of Louisiana, southern Arkansas, and southwest Mississippi. Heavy rain may also lead to flooding in several areas. Details are on the Storm Prediction Center website, and I'll have the URL in the logs posted to the Yahoo groups and Facebook. And elsewhere, winter storm warnings and advisories for ice and snow are widespread across the country. For details, go to weather.gov on the Internet. Click on the desired area of the map. Just too many warnings to mention. Again, we've already got winter storm warnings, ice storm warnings, and winter weather advisories in the state, and we'll probably see tornado watches tomorrow as well for parts of South Arkansas. Winter is not over yet. It looks like it's going to be cold for much of March as well, so it may be a while before we get out of the deep freeze. WX1DER, back to net.
All right. Thank you, Daryl, for that update. And I know you wanted to get the severe weather info out, and that's very good, pertinent info, especially with the storm traversing the country. So thank you for that, Daryl. One more call for questions, comments on tonight's presentation or the upcoming storm affecting parts of the country, and then we'll turn it back over to at WA1EMA. This is KD1CY. Okay, nothing heard. Well, thanks again, everybody, for their attentiveness tonight and check-ins, and I'll turn it back over to Ed. We'll run through the text box check-ins quick, have a couple of calls for check-ins before we wrap up this month's net. WA1EMA, KD1CY.